Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is just after 10 on Friday morning. This is Sex Talk, unscripted and radio, and this morning most definitely uncensored. And we're talking sex education. This is important stuff, big stuff, with a studio full of really wonderful people. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Jonty. Hello, all the beautiful ladies around the table today.
Lots of eye candy for you.
Sure, I'm excited.
Morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, Jonty.
How are you this morning?
I can't complain because it doesn't help.
Well, it does. Sometimes a good moan does help you feel better.
I thought you were going to say you can't complain because there's so many beautiful women in
here. Oh, yeah, absolutely right. I can complain that there aren't more. We can both complain about that.
We can always find some more. But can
why are we not doing that?
Well,
I don't understand.
Because first you've got to prove that you can satisfy the ones that are here.
Great. Where do we
start?
That
sounds like a challenge.
Yes. Because you see, so many guys have this amazing fantasy about more than one woman when they can't even fully satisfy the one they got. And then they think, what am I going to do with more?
One of them's pregnant. I've always loved pregnant women. Hashtag, just absolutely. Saying.
Absolutely.
She's got a nervous giggle over there.
So in line with that, yesterday was International Fisting Day. So we'll come back to that after we've said hello to everybody, because we're going to say hi to Misha.
Hi, how are you doing?
So cool that you came back.
Thanks, yeah.
Have they kicked you off the fashion show after being here?
No. They don't know I've been on here.
Okay.
They're going to find out, and there's going to be trouble.
No, they probably won't. They're kind of...
They're going to be jealous of you.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
They're going to storm the studio.
No, in those high heels, I don't think they'll
Liz
get very
isn't
far.
Going anywhere. She's going to fall over. And two really special guests doing something fantastic. Sarika, good morning.
Good morning, Jonty.
Where are you from?
I'm from South Africa.
No.
No, you would never say.
No, we don't want to know about that. The project.
So I am the program director for ConnectEd.
Okay, that's all we want to know for now. And then we're going to talk about what ConnectEd is.
Great.
Alexia.
Morning, Jonty. How are you?
So cool that you guys came. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've got to talk really close to the mic.
I will do.
That's it, because you're doing some really, really important stuff.
Thank you. We really appreciate that.
So it's an important platform and something that we here are all very committed to. So this is great. We need to do something first. So we do a feature on the show called...
Ninja Sex. Chocolate Starfish. Twitter Bag. Calypagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
Master dating.
Dirty dictionary word.
Master dating. Any ideas, Lisa?
Well, it's not masturbating, so I'm going to go with someone that dates a whole bunch of people at the same time.
Okay, nowhere close.
No,
in fact,
damn.
Almost the opposite end of the spectrum. But, Misha, any clue?
I had an idea, but I'm very wrong because I am on the sex show and, you know, you get a master builder in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
So I was thinking a master data, but seeing as
no,
that's not it, maybe it's dating with masturbating.
Dating maybe. Yourself because
maybe.
You're masturbating.
Yeah.
Somebody's thinking a little bit this morning. Anastasia?
Yeah, so my guess was going to be it's when you take yourself out to a movie and to dinner and... You hope that you're going to get lucky afterwards.
Mm. Okay. Alexia?
I'm going to go with Anastasia. I'm hoping that that's what it is. Okay. I've always wanted it to be cool for me to just cruise around by myself and be one of those really independent women that sit at a table with a glass of wine and a book and pretends that she doesn't notice that everyone thinks she's the coolest person in the room. Okay. So I'm holding out for that to be what it is.
Okay. Sarika?
My guess is that it's dating yourself, and maybe you really enjoy dating yourself.
Mm. Okay. So that clears that one up very easily and quickly this morning. Absolutely. There we go. Going out by yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yours sounded like fun too, but yeah.
I'm just saying. You should never make me guess, because the guesses I come up with is just really bad. This is the sex show. I don't think of Legos while I'm on the sex show. Sorry, Misha.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
We're going to still corrupt you. Like, in 2 or 3 weeks when you come back, maybe, you're going to ask a question and you're just going to, like, jump up there.
No, I actually watched the Lego movie this morning, seeing as...
Yeah?
Yeah. I've taken on the mom position in the household. So, 6 o'clock up, watching Lego with my
brother. I also watched the movie this morning. It wasn't the Lego one. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Cool.
So here's a little bit of useless trivia for the day. Who is the biggest tire manufacturer in the world? Any idea?
Dunlop.
Lego.
Lego. There we go.
I knew that one.
For all the little toys. They make more tires than anybody else in the world.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. Interesting one. So it's been kind of an interesting week in the world of sexuality, because yesterday was International Fisting Day. So did anybody celebrate?
Not this year.
No. Did you get to celebrate International Fisting Day yesterday? We had a brief conversation yesterday morning about it.
I'm a lesbian. God, of course I did. When I got your message, I was phoning a bunch of chicks to find out who I can celebrate with.
Okay. So as long as it was a good experience for all concerned.
I took some photos. I'll show you later.
Okay. We'd love to see that. Which is going to be very interesting in terms of education. What about fetish education? When do we kind of start talking about that? Interesting one. So please join our conversation on...
0861-555-189, or message us to screen on WeChat. Alternatively, catch us on Twitter, cliffcentral.com, Eros Life SA, and Lisa the Lesbian.
And a big hello to Tamar.
Yes, we're going to try and phone her in a second. She's just struggling with some reception there.
Okay.
But she'll let us know when she's ready.
Okay, cool. And something interesting that happened with very little fanfare. Playboy is no longer putting pictures of nude women in their magazine.
I know, that's so disappointing.
So the link explaining why is going to be up on our webpage. Very interesting article. I thought it made a lot of sense when I read it.
It did. It was still disappointing.
Well, the thing is that it's all over the place. And, you know, when they started out, they were the only ones doing this. Mm-mm-mm. And it was this big thing about freedom. And now it's anywhere. So,
yeah, but they must change their name from Playboy to Unplayboy, or... I don't know, because you're not playing anymore if there's no naked chicks.
Mm. Yeah, I get it and I don't. So I'm kind of...
I think it really just represents this idea that companies and individuals in this day and age, you need to stay current.
Yeah.
And if what you're doing has become irrelevant,
then
you need to change.
Yeah.
Quite
and
right.
One of their big things was it's always been prestigious to be published in Playboy as an author. Because their articles were fantastic. But there was always this little kind of stigma of saying, okay, so it was in Playboy. You know, like somebody says, I read Playboy for the articles.
Yeah, that's the trope.
You know, and now the reality is people are going to read Playboy for the articles.
And, you know, and I read Hustler for the cartoons.
Whatever.
So what is their plan now? You know, what is their plan to stay relevant? And
from what I
different?
Gather, to be more journalistically serious and to be more about social commentary and to publish the stuff that they do and to be taken more seriously.
But what does this mean for the Playboy Mansion?
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, because I don't think the parties are going to change.
Okay.
So I think the Playboy Mansion is still going to carry on. So now tell us about this project, because I think it's really important.
Sure. Okay. So I am the brand manager of Durex South Africa. So again, I'm so grateful to be here and to be given an opportunity in a forum where people are speaking about sex, because that's what I really do believe in South Africa, that we need. People are still hiding condoms and lubricants under their magazines and newspapers in the trolley when they're purchasing, you know, devices or condoms or anything for sex. And that, as a brand for us, is a problem. We need to have people being proud of the fact that they own their sex lives, they're in control of their sexuality, and it's good to have sex. So specifically today, we are talking about how we are trying as a brand, with the help of Sarika and her team, to make sure that South African youth are aware of the dangers that are involved with sex, including unwanted pregnancies as well as infections and diseases that we are all so aware of in South Africa, but trying to educate the youth that using a condom if you are going to have sex, correct and consistent condom usage is absolutely imperative to looking after themselves, and it shouldn't be something that they're ashamed to talk about with their friends and their families. It should be something that they're proud of and are confident to ask for at whatever store they walk into, which I think at the moment is a big challenge in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. So this is your time to say something.
So in 2012, Durex took a really great step and decided to develop a corporate social responsibility program that would positively contribute to South Africa. And when they approached us, they said, you know, please do some research and see what are the areas that we can most contribute to. And our team proposed a couple of different options. We approached the Department of Basic Education, the Department of Health, and we also referred to media and, you know, what media were talking about and also public opinion. And what was very interesting is we found that sex education in the majority of high schools in South Africa was seriously under-resourced. Mm. It's approached via the life orientation curriculum. Schools are so severely resourced as it is, they're trying very hard to focus on the academic syllabus. So as a result, sex education, you know, typically takes a back seat. And this is where Durex decided to step in. And, you know, our aim was to really try to reduce rates of HIV, STIs, and unplanned pregnancies in high schools, which is rife in South Africa.
Okay, that's very cool. So a while ago, we've been talking a lot about sex education in lots of different forums lately, connecting it to lots of different ideas. And I'd like to put this in the bigger context of sex education for sexual consciousness as actually part of life skills, because so many relationships fail directly or indirectly through sexual problems more than any other single factor. And we do have one of the highest divorce rates in the world. And when we did a show a little while ago on terminations, we found out some really interesting things, that so many teachers are full stop refusing to teach about sexuality. Mm-hmm. And this becomes a serious issue, because whose responsibility is this? And I think it's all of ours.
I would agree. I think it's also parents that have a very big role to play.
Yes.
And what we're seeing is that they're not coming to the party. Mm. They feel embarrassed to talk to children about yes. sex, or they feel that they might be encouraging promiscuity or, you know, early sexual activity. Yeah.
So two things there are really important, because I get asked this on almost every talk that I give. How do I talk to my kids about sex? And the simple fact that more adults in education seem to have the idea that more education is going to lead to promiscuity, where just the opposite is true.
Well, I'd like to say that my mother taught me about sex when I was 9 years old. She had drawings and...
So that explains a lot. Yes.
Well...
That was like, 2 years ago?
I'm not 11 years old. No. And then I remember, you know, being shocked and like... Is that what it's for and all of that? But because she taught me before school taught me, I wasn't as, you know, like, what's this? And when they brought out the condoms and all that kind of stuff. And I would have to say that I wasn't a promiscuous child. I mean, you know, I had my first boyfriend when I was 19. Not by choice.
Yeah, not by choice. Okay.
So we need to expand that to say we're talking a lot about the fear side of sex, how not to get pregnant, how not to get HIV, AIDS, any of the other STIs. Are we giving education for pleasure? Are we giving education for relationships? Are we giving tools and a space to explore?
I think I'll take this one. From a Jurek's point of view, which is how I'll answer this, our pr- primary role is to encourage people to love sex. So whether that's with several different partners, whether it's someone that you've been married to for 50 years, whether it's someone that you are casually seeing, whether they're male or female, the point is to love sex. And I think that's something that, that we as a brand firmly believe in.
So there's quite a sex positive message underneath it all.
Absolutely. That's what we want to be encouraging, all people to be having sex, but do it safely and do it without judgment. And that's the key for us. And that's what we're trying to do, is to control that message to these high school pupils and, you know, frame it in a context where it's not potentially an old frightening teacher saying, you know, you should not have sex, you should not do this. It's just, you might choose to have sex. These are the risks that are involved. Let us equip you with the right information and tools of how to handle these situations, so that when you make that decision for yourself, you have all the information available from a source that's objective. And it, like Sarika was saying, sometimes it can be difficult from a parent who isn't sure which way to go. This is a brand that we do believe in sex, and we do believe in loving sex, but doing it in a way that's safe for yourself and your partner. And I think that's something that, as a brand, we can influence in South Africa and try and change that perception of fear and sex. So love sex, but do it safely. Mm.
So we need actually resources that go beyond what we have, that are going to give the possibilities of how to explore sexually in a safe way. And that's one of my biggest things. And it comes up again on so many of the workshops. You know, we taught this week one of the most beautiful workshops of expanded orgasm, which is a safe sex technique, because there's no penetration. Mm. It's not an oral technique. So it actually gives a framework to explore, to give pleasure, to receive pleasure. And it takes a lot of the edge out of the equation. You are very quiet this morning.
Oh, no, I'm just stacking up things to say.
Okay.
And one of the,
she's like making a list.
One of the things that I really picked up on, we discussed the purpose of, or the place of sex education within the context of life orientation. Mm. And maybe what I'm going to say is going to come as a shock to some of you, but that curriculum for life orientation, specifically with regards to what is now starting to become referred to as comprehensive sexuality education, which I think is already a step in the right direction from sex ed, is not standardized in this country.
Meaning that everybody's doing kind of what they want.
Meaning that if you want to teach abstinence-only education, if you want to teach sex is evil education, if you want to leave it out, if you want to go into broad detail and talk about different sexualities and gender identities and this and that, it's all happening at the same time, and there is no base standard. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about what is the status of sex education in South Africa, it becomes a really difficult topic to handle because it varies from institution to institution. And those schools and systems and teachers are all subject to a lot of influences that come from outside of the system, because it depends on what the predominant religious influence in the community
is. Personal background.
Absolutely right. It depends on where the teachers come from. It depends on the kind of community. You know, you might have a very liberal neighborhood that's teaching comprehensive sexuality education in a very empowering and positive kind of way. And on the flip side, you might have a very conservative, maybe rural setting where it's just completely taboo. And the message, if you're not teaching sex education, you actually are teaching it. You're teaching that sex is bad, that it's something that we don't talk about.
Yeah. I was sitting with a couple in a counseling session this week, and she said when her mother told her about sex, her mother actually was in tears.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's shocking to hear. And the reasons for that could be multitudinous, but it could be that she's had her own personal struggle and pathologization and shaming for acknowledging that sex exists, that she as a woman is entitled to have sexuality, that it's not merely for the purpose of procreation. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah. So very interesting thing I read in the week, published by my friend Galen Fuss in America, phenomenal therapist, does a lot of amazing writing, published in Psychology Today. The idea that clinical sexology is about 25 years behind the sexual expression that we are living in. So we can add a couple more years to South Africa because of our generally conservative nature, which means that that is generally the source of the education, beyond everybody's own ideas, beyond everybody's religion, beyond everybody's personal inhibitions, limitations, their fears about sexuality. And the bigger bottom line question is, why do we fear sexual knowledge so much? And it's a huge question. And it really is, I think, one of the biggest life questions. Because when people become sexually free, they become free on every level. And then essentially can no longer be governed by people in the way that we are governed. So the transformational power of sexuality is huge.
So when's the right time to, you know?
Well, when is the right time? Because the first email that came about this had the sentence, when do you have the talk?
I thought you were going to take that as a mom. So we know that children as young as five are aware of sex. They know about it, whether it's, you know, experimenting at school or with their siblings. Children are aware of it. So like Misha, you were saying, your mom preempted those discussions at school and you had a base knowledge. I think that's quite important. So, I mean, five, in my personal opinion, not being a mother yet, is a bit young. But I think 9, 10, especially, you know, you have to look at your child and the environment they're in. Are they in a co-ed school? Are they not? Like, do they have siblings where they would have seen, oh, I've got this, my sibling has that? You know, I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. But again, I think the most important thing, you touched on it earlier about a lot of relationships failing because not being able to speak about sex, creating an environment where it isn't this taboo topic, where in your family, your children are free to explore or free to ask questions that they don't understand, that will bring about the right time. Your child will ask you because they are aware of it, and they'll meet something that they don't understand. And if you've created an environment where children are free to ask the questions and sex isn't this terrible, fearsome topic, they'll ask the question.
So by age 8 or 9, if you haven't had a discussion, you need to open the doors.
And I think we also need to consider what the research shows. Sexual activity starting at a younger and younger age in South Africa. And, you know, there's a big generational gap that we have to acknowledge between educators and learners and also between parents and the new generation. So often people are in denial, you know, with regards to their own children. It's something that they take very personally. So instead of addressing it, they'd rather, you know, stick their heads in the sand and think that it's possibly not happening.
Yeah, because for us to acknowledge our children as sexual beings is almost in the same space as us acknowledging our parents as sexual beings. And we don't want to think of either of those.
Absolutely.
So do you guys also equip parents to deal with this? Because, I mean, one of the hardest things is not just actually speaking to a child, but how to speak to a child. I mean, my niece is 4 and you're saying 5 and I'm going, oh my God, I'm not ready for that yet. So, I mean, do you do anything for parents in that sense?
Well, we have Connected Books, which are beautifully animated books designed specifically for teenagers. We give them out in schools, and what we have found is that learners take them home. And it's interesting because it creates a talking point in the family. So we're actually working it the other way around. And, you know, learners are taking it home, sharing the books with their siblings, aunts and uncles. And then we get phone calls, from family saying, please, can we have more of your books? Because they are, very sensitively developed. So we focus grouped, teachers, learners and educators in developing the material, but it covers topics that are also not clinical, like how to negotiate condom use, which is a very, very important subject. So it covers everything about safe sex and the risks of unsafe sex, but also importantly, how to address condom use with a partner.
See, one of my biggest things in this is that there's plenty of clinical information out there. There's not a shortage of that. There is a shortage of how to have the conversations that need to be had about what kind of pleasure you're looking to experience. When are you ready to experience certain things? What is the emotional implications of certain experiences? And the bigger picture of our sexual consciousness as a whole.
So what we've done initially is it's obviously difficult in a classroom setting if there's a question that someone wants to ask and they don't feel confident or they don't know how to approach their parents, and vice versa. If that student goes home with that book, there's actually a website called Connected Buddy where we have a specific Jurex a social worker who sits on the back end of that and addresses these anonymous queries by students and parents. So we're driving to, if if these students and these parents aren't able to ask each other these questions yet, or how to ask each other these questions, we've got a platform that they often do, and we get a lot of queries on there. How do I ask my parents about this? And from parents as well on that, that system. So that for us is working quite well. And there we get insight to feed back into our program. So what are the things that parents and students are struggling with, and how can we address this in a way that makes them feel comfortable next time to put their hand up and say, actually, I've got a question on that.
And there are certain conversations that you should not be having with your parents. And that's a simple truth. You know, I've been a single parent since my daughter was 4 years old, so we are incredibly close. Beyond that, because of what I do, we have very, very deep discussions. But there are certain conversations that I would not have with my daughter. And she needs the resources to be able to go and say, so if I really want to learn some very good oral skills, or find out about if I should actually do something, where can I go beyond the family? Because there are some things that it's not going to be. And my first response to parents who say, how do I talk to my kids about sex, should be, if you're uncomfortable with your own sexuality, there is no way your kids are even going to ask you, because they know it's going to embarrass you. And that's why we need other resources that, in my opinion, need to be incredibly non-judgmental and open.
So, I mean, I'm probably going to throw a spanner out there, but in terms of...
You're good at that.
Yes, I'm very well. So I'm going to throw spanners very well.
Do it.
So, as a lesbian, or as someone that, you know, was brought up not knowing about being gay or gay sex or about that, do you guys kind of incorporate that in what you do as well, that kids are comfortable to speak to you about that, potentially talking to you about either their sexual orientation or how to have safe sex with the same sex partner type thing?
Through Connected Buddy, we do cater for it. We get all sorts of questions. We get around about 50,000 questions a year.
Oh, wow.
It's an anonymous and confidential platform.
We should be getting 50,000 a week.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to. and we're hoping you'll help us get there.
So I'm tweeting out the link for Connect Buddy right now. So if anybody wants to get more information, you just go and click on that and go get some more info.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but I think what Lisa makes there is a really important point, because if we're, again, if we don't address the idea of not all couples are intrinsically heterosexual, not all sex is penetrative, and I know obviously that might be a little bit of a conflict of interest because Durex wants to sell condoms.
Sure.
But safe sex is about much more than just condom usage, because really representation is what's important. And I think it comes back to this. When you have that child sitting in a classroom learning about sex education, and what we're teaching is it's when a man and a woman, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
If they don't fit into that, the message that we're giving them is something is wrong with you, because this is the way things are supposed to work normally.
That's my idea of sexual consciousness, to fit it into that, to say if somebody realizes that this is not their path in just a monogamous heterosexual expression of life, where do they go to actually get something that says, hey, whoever you are is okay, let's find a way for you to explore this and to be okay with who you are.
Well, absolutely. And I think, just again, to reinforce that idea, when it comes to these kind of things, language becomes very important, you know, and it's small changes. It's like saying, instead of boyfriend, you can say partner. And suddenly you've got something that has taken all of that loadedness and all of those implications out of it. And you start to include a whole bunch more people who were previously lacking that representation. But I think that's a very important point. Is there such a resource?
So let's make Lisa squirm.
Why? Oh.
You can watch porn, or you can just listen to the real sex stories.
He parted the lace of my black silk panties, hungrily yet gently licking my pearl, sucking where he should, then diving in with his tongue. The sweetness of my honey flowed into his welcoming mouth while my hips shivered with multiple orgasms, and I fought back screams of passion. It felt so kinky, impetuously fucking like that in the back of the limousine. He thrust his cock deep into my throat as my tongue skillfully delivered an explosive O, drops of hot ivory shooting all over my face. Remarkably, We were composed before our driver could unleash his seatbelt, and off to dinner we went. A rather delicious appetizer, wouldn't you say?
Oh la la. Thank you, Mishi. Absolutely.
So for those that don't know why that makes me squirm, Mishi just has a really, really special effect on me when she reads her sexy stories out. We had a very, really hot lesbian story last week, so I'm still excited from that one.
And wait till you hear the real sex story for next week's show, which we'll talk about. That's taking things to a very different level. Absolutely. So we got a beautiful message from Tamar, because we were trying to connect with her on Skype and we are having connection problems. So even though you are not here, you are still in our hearts and part of
our family.
That's it. So now you can play it.
Okay, so let's see.
Hello, Sex Talk. I miss you so much. Hi, John T. Hi, Lisa. Hello, Anastasia. I miss you guys so much. I really tried to educate the Israelis from here to have much nicer life and have more sex, and maybe then they won't attack each other and kill each other and, you know, kill everybody around them and so on. But didn't really work. So I'm still trying, spreading the love here. We'll be back shortly. And I just want to tell you that you guys are doing such an amazing, amazing, amazing job. My friends, my family even, are listening to the show and learning every single time. So keep up the good work. I love you, I miss you, and I can't wait to orgasm with you. See you soon. Bye.
John T, that last one was for you.
There we go. Real simple. So, because you see, I have an incredible belief in the transformational power of sexuality. And if we were all more in touch with that and we expressed that and we had a whole lot more pleasure, we would be feeling a whole lot more love. We would be feeling a whole lot more peaceful. We would not be anywhere near as violent as we are. And I think our world would be a very different place. Having a conversation with Gareth earlier, and there's a great line in Good Morning Vietnam. Robin Williams is talking about one of his bosses, and he says, I've never seen a white man more in need of a blowjob. But the bigger picture meaning of that was, if our leaders, and I have a firm believer in this, if our leaders and any country who's radical enough to listen, I'd be so happy to be involved in this as an experiment, had either a beautiful sensual pleasure massage or an expanded orgasm, tantric lovemaking once a week, I guarantee you that in 6 months we would have everybody in the world being fed, we would have everybody in the world being housed, we would have everybody in the world being educated. What do you think?
That is so true. I mean, it's also evident at work when you know, we've spoken about this briefly before, about the people that you're around that are so miserable, and they are generally the people that are also going through a really tough time at home relationship-wise and that, and they bring it to work. So I think if more people got laid, we'll all be more happier.
Yeah. I mean, I'm working on a new talk on the impact of relationships and healthy sexuality on productivity and creativity at work. And the links are amazing, because nobody really wants to put business and sex in the same box.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point, but I think you can even take it further to say it's really about destigmatization and it's about removing shame. Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It's that we're ashamed and we feel guilty and we worry that people are going to judge us for things that are arguably part of human nature. And I mean, interestingly, it's both sides of the coin, because I always have to play the slightly political activist, feminist, social justice warrior
and
card.
And everybody here has to be true to who they are. There's no question of that. So.
Well, absolutely right. But just in terms of looking at identities, like someone who identifies as being asexual, this kind of preconception that society puts on sexuality makes things very difficult, because we can't talk about it out in the open. So we can't have a discussion about different orientations, including an entire spectrum on asexuality, and why that's not necessarily broken, and why homosexuality is not broken, and why bisexuality, pansexuality, etc., etc., etc. But at the same time, it's almost like we are all preoccupied with sex. It's top of the mind, even though you're not allowed to talk about it. And I think that's a hugely problematic dichotomy that makes a lot of lives difficult. And it all centers around this concept of shame.
It does. And that's what separates us. And as soon as we get in a space of connection, so much of that literally disappears. And that's where, for me, so many of the experiences that we do are about that, because there's these moments of one person connecting to another that's not in a specific context necessarily. Mm-hmm. One human being to another. Like one of the most beautiful things we do, the water flow massage, where you have this bunch of people who are sensually in connection, and it doesn't matter what's between your legs. It simply matters that there's one human being and one heart connecting to another. And the impact of that is, it's huge and enormous. How do we educate people for that? I mean, I got a pretty good idea how. How do you think we do that? You're passing the
I love how they pass.
Wow, there is a lot of bug passing going on now.
There's like, that's a tough question. You're taking this one.
So for me, and this is my personal opinion, I think it comes down to communication. Mm. And I think, you know, we've spoken about communication from children to parents, but I think between partners, you know, like you're saying, people who are angry at work, or you know, people who struggle because they're taking out their frustration maybe from a relationship or their sex life on other people. To me, that comes down to communication. And if we have a society that's confident to speak about sex and speak to their very own partner, who is the person that they're closest to, about what they want, what they don't want, what they like, what they don't like, what they want to experience, that communication will have a knock-on effect to the rest of their lives. So for me, it's more about communication and being open to having these discussions. And when you do that, you'll have better sex. You'll probably have a better relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll probably be happier around other people, whether it's at work or the man on the street. So to me, the root of that actually comes back to communication. And again, feeling comfortable to speak about sex. From what we do, we're not going to cover every single topic, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's you know, we can't take on the world. Yeah. But what we can do is try and change the perception to be comfortable speaking about sex. And once that happens, the conversations will start.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying that if we can have a culture of communication, the words that we use, to simply be comfortable to say, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what I'm asking about, this is what concerns me, and to have that culture, so much would change from that alone.
But isn't it incredible that every single show we do, the one thing that always keeps on coming up is communication?
Yeah, but it's one of the most important things.
Yeah. So, I mean, educating is one way of starting with it, but I mean, that opens the door to communication, and it's so incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think communication is necessarily the problem. It's the type of communication. Mm-hmm. So you get the guys who are like, oh, I got it in last night, and the girls go into more detail, but it's more the, you know, the content of the communication that needs to change.
Well, that's always a little fascinating thing, is that men get so shocked when they find out that women talk about sex so much more explicitly than men ever do. And that terrifies men when they find out, because women will remember every little detail of an experience and they will share that. And for guys, it's this bigger picture thing. And then you ask guy about detail. He didn't remember the details.
No, he didn't.
No.
But even when we did the show with the bunch of college students, we had like 7 college students, and we were talking about sex to them. And I think there was only one person out of all 7 of them that actually had sex, and they were between 19, 20, 21 years old.
So we don't know that they were really very typical.
Yeah, maybe we should have found more typical students. We'll go to some of these protests, find different students there. But
well, our take on the protest is, and I'm not making light of any of this, but
you saw me skiffing, yes. You saw the sideways glance.
I know what he's going to say.
Here comes the disclaimer.
That's it. Here it comes. And we have to be in character.
Wow, you are getting to know me.
We have to be in character.
This is not a character. This is the real deal. Yes.
So our protest is, pants must come down.
Yes.
Because I have multiple bosses.
Mm. About their pants coming down? I'm interested to hear what this is going to be.
We have to expand that and say.
Well, I'd have to say that my favorite one of them, and she knows who she is, but she has a no pants day. And that's typically on a Sunday. And Sunday is no pants day.
Yeah.
You're going to give me her number, right?
Yeah.
She's taken, unfortunately.
I saw a little
That's what they all say.
And if she were to turn your way, it would be my
I saw a little documentary a while ago on a company. I think it was an ad agency somewhere in America. It was probably in California. And they had a day, one day a week, of everybody being nude in the office.
Oh, wow. I do not think I want to see the people I work with naked, though. Except a bunch of people in this room, because, I mean, we do naked shows.
You're
but
looking at it at such a very objective way.
I know.
You see, you're objectifying these people and not allowing them to be human.
But still, you know what? I could focus when we were 10 people up on the roof being naked. That was fine. But having an entire office of naked people, I just... And remember, I work with a bunch of models, okay? So our company pretty much just hires, like, so really smoking hot models.
So all that you're doing is linking nudity and sex and putting it in the same sentence.
I am.
There we go.
I know. That's so we know bad of me.
Exactly how shallow you are today.
He's probably pictured them all naked before.
I'm not even going to deny it. When I see a hot, beautiful woman in front of me and she's naked, it's going to get me excited.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You know, I can't help it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that really ties into the idea of body positivity and how comfortable you are in your own skin. And it does tie into this idea of sex education, at least if you look at it in a comprehensive kind of light. Because you can't start thinking about interactions with someone else's body until you are comfortable in interacting with yours. And I think that's really why I get a little bit worked up at the idea of, like, anything to do with sex is evil, masturbation is evil, abstinence only is the way to go. And I mean, we've got proof that this kind of education doesn't work.
Yeah.
And until we start acknowledging that, and it does, it involves everything that we've already discussed. It involves communication, and it's got to be something broad-based, because you can't just reach the students. You've got to reach the parents. You've got to reach the communities. And sex is happening, and sex is going to happen. And if it weren't for sex, I don't think any of us would be sitting in this room, not just because it's sex talk, but because we are all...
We're here because an egg and a sperm went swimming along and did their thing.
If you want to be biologically essentialist about it, that's absolutely right. We are all the products of conception. And it happened through sex in most instances.
And I mean, that's why it's so important to make sex fun. You know, I mean, we don't get taught that. We never get taught that. I'm so glad what you guys are doing, because, I mean, if someone had to come teach me about sex and how much fun it can be, I think I probably wouldn't have, one, been as naive the first time I had a sexual experience, and two, I also wouldn't have been so scared to talk to people about it. You know, even back then when I was 19, 20, somewhere around there, you know, it was a shameful thing. So it's not something you would go to your girlfriends about and say, oh, by the way, this is what I did.
And
so
that's huge. And this is,
it's massive.
Again, a bigger picture, because a lot of people come to me after they've had certain experiences of exploration from early 20s up to over 50. And they're looking for education about it. Mm-hmm. What is the context they put it in? What does it mean to them? How does it change their relationship? How does it change them? Who are they after they've done whatever it is that they've done that's gone beyond who they thought they were before? And that's where we need the resources on a much bigger picture for adults as well as for young people.
Well, Chanti, another thing that's really interesting is we've, you know, as Jurek's worked at schools and at universities, and, you know, coming back to that issue of communication, we find that learners are much more conservative about asking questions and exploring when they're in school. But as soon as we get into the university setting, oh my word, there's an explosion. So we ran a campaign a couple of years ago that we won an award on called Campus Sutra. And the idea behind Campus Sutra was asking students, what's your position on safe sex? And what came up was really interesting. You know, we had learners, well, we had students at universities just asking us all sorts of questions. We had the full range of products available to them, to play with, and they came out and wanted to know more. So it's so interesting how, you know, even in a 1 year gap, the setting changes and suddenly the questions and the communication totally changes.
Yeah. Now this is a big thing, because over the years of working with so many people, I see how much of our sexuality changes and how important it is to have a culture of communication to be able to fit that into our lives and understand ourselves. You go and you watch a movie, even if it was that terrible 50 Shades of Grey, and something wakes up inside of you and you say, oh, I want to experience that. And what do you do with that? Where do you put it? That's why we need that, because so many things that we never even considered to be sexually interesting before, at some point in our lives, wake up. But not only sexually interesting, emotionally interesting. And again, that goes to the bigger picture, because it goes so far beyond sex. Something intellectually interests us. Okay, I need to explore that a little bit. Where can I go and find some stuff? And a lot of what's out on the web is seriously scary, dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that actually, the information is accessible, but it's not accessible in a safe way and in a responsible way. And I think that's the problem. And the exact same concept comes back down to education at the basic level. If you don't give people information that they can use, if you don't empower them with it, they are going to find it somewhere else. And you cannot control the quality of where that information comes from and what is contained in it. Yeah. And if it's safe and if it's unsafe.
And we're not teaching people to really think in terms of that. An American educator made a statement 2 weeks ago, said that the only thing our education system does, and he was talking about the general Western education system, is it teaches people to be obedient.
Yeah, that's absolutely
full
right.
Stop.
That's it teaches you obedience. It teaches you not to question. And that's the exact opposite. Because once questioning becomes okay, it opens so many other doors.
And that's where sexual freedom becomes so scary. Because it's linked to my creative freedom and my intellectual freedom and my emotional freedom.
Can I say the P word?
You can.
Patriarchy. Yeah, and we laugh, but that's actually it. Because we try to control people by their sexuality. And it is. It's just another means of oppression.
Yeah.
And it has vast societal implications.
Absolutely.
You know, there's also a lot of myths and misconceptions out there because of this issue of lack of education.
Yes.
So it's not just about telling people, you know, this is how things work, but it's also about answering the questions. And the lack of answering questions has resulted in unbelievable amounts of myths and misconceptions that we address through Connected Buddy every day. You know, some very creative questions that I can tell you.
Yeah.
And the problem is that we're seeing this come about because the source of information that people are accessing is completely wrong. And it's exacerbating this issue of the myths and misconceptions.
What, and if you've worked with so many people, what is the biggest misperception people have out, or teenagers have out there about sex?
Gosh, there are so many questions that we get that are really interesting. We get questions like, is it okay to wear two condoms at the same time? So that's quite a common question where people, learners are thinking, okay, I want to be safe about this. So what if the first condom breaks? Maybe I should put a second one on top of it. Which is exactly what you shouldn't do because of the friction.
Is so the wrong thing.
And the first condom obviously, you know, has friction against the second and then it will tear. A very common question that we get, hugely common, is related to the withdrawal method. So they're asking if, you know, they use the withdrawal method as a way of contraception. That I think must be the most common question that we get. Okay. We're also getting a lot of questions around sugar daddies and, you know, issues like that. Concerned friends. We get a lot of concerned friend questions.
Yes. Absolutely. I get so much of that.
Yeah. My friend has this issue.
Yeah. Inverted commas.
That's it. You know what's fascinating? A lot of my clients actually book a session or two often with their teenagers to come and talk to me about stuff. And it's such a wonderful thing for a parent to do, to say that there are places with my kid that I can't go, that I don't want to go, but here's a resource for it. And it is the most beautiful thing to spend an hour or two with some of these people and answer their questions and for them to know that the door is open.
And I think, again, going back to what Sarika is touching on, is what we found and through a lot of research is that first experience is exceptionally important to how that individual will continue having sex. So if they use two condoms that first time and don't have a pleasurable experience, because obviously the condom might break, they might not have the feeling that they were hoping to feel, they won't use a condom again. And that's where we come in. We're trying to influence before that first experience to say, listen, do it correctly and this experience will be good. And you will see that it's worth to continue using condoms. So if we can try and influence that first experience with the correct education and that individuals enjoy that experience, you know, that it's not this static, uncomfortable, they don't know what they're doing, they don't know how it should work, and then they don't enjoy it, that's bad for the country, because then people stop using condoms and they become irresponsible, because then they write it off and saying, I never want to use a condom again. Mm. It feels horrible. I want skin on skin. And that's a big issue for us, because then withdrawal methods and different ways of trying to have sex come about. And that's when, unfortunately, there are unplanned pregnancies and the spreading of infections. And that's something that we want to try and limit in our youth, because it is a massive problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we need to come back to this in a little while, because this is such a big discussion and so important. We do keep coming back to it, though, in almost everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the purposes of the platform that we have. And it's really, really fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
This has really been important and it's wonderful. So next week is Halloween. We are very happy to have a Halloween party. We are talking about fantasy, so we are definitely going to get a little bit more sexy, a little bit more sensual, a little bit more erotic, and a little bit downright naughty.
And we will be periscoping it. We haven't done periscope in a while, because we haven't done something naughty in a while.
No, we haven't. So next week we are going to make up for a lot of that. And you are more than welcome to come and join us. There is a condition. You have to be dressed up. And there is a great article I'm going to post next week about four sexual things that we can use the energy of Halloween to explore.
Wow, that sounds interesting. I hope it's not like a pumpkin fetish.
It is not.
If you're into that, then it's okay.
Then it's fine.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Isn't there already that whole pumpkin spice fetish going on with teenage girls? But that's not necessarily
There's
sexual.
No pumpkin in pumpkin
what
spice.
What is pumpkin spice?
I have no idea what you're talking okay. about.
If you talk about Starbucks, they have pumpkin spiced anything.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. Also, no American Pie business,
no,
I hope.
No,
oh,
none of that. No, it's actually...
Wow, that's completely derailed.
Serious article, so it's really cool.
Okay.
And we will post that next week. Great funny on our page on the website this week of the dancing tampons. I think yes. I saw it on your Facebook.
Yeah,
feed, so
I
thank
probably
you so
shared
much.
That first. The yes. Swedish dancing tampon yes. video.
That
of,
is hilarious.
It is. It
yeah,
really
it's really
is.
Cool.
It
so
really
that's
is.
Up there.
Disclaimer as always, because it is a little bit problematic, but
it
it's
is.
Just a dancing tampons.
Absolutely. It
wow.
just appeals. There's and no question of that.
The chorus, mens, mens, mens. I know.
Very cool. Wednesday night, Awakening the Erotic Spirit. Absolutely awesome experience of exploring erotica at Cafe Zing in Sandton. Please join us. It really is a wonderful, wonderful event. One of the most fun things that I do. Information on our website, www.eroslife.co.za. Thank you again for all of your emails and calls and messages in the week. They are so appreciated, because the feedback we're getting of what we're doing with the show is amazing. And beyond the fact that it really is touching, the gratitude to have the platform to share the stuff and for you guys to be here. So Lisa has shared the contact details, mm-hmm. and we will put them up on our page on the website as well. It really is amazing, and I'm so grateful, and grateful for you all to being here this morning. We are playing out with a song that I have no idea what it is, because I asked for something else which has not appeared on the screen. So I have no idea what
You know, you say that every week, like, we're playing out with this song, I've got no idea.
Well, a lot of the stuff that's here is, I'm not...
Contemporaneous, is that the word?
No.
Okay, we're going to find some sexy music, John.
Yeah, so
all right, that's our homework assignment.
There
we're
going to
come with a playlist next week.
So, ladies, I insist you all come over to my house this weekend. We have a girls' night, and we find some sexy music. And what happens, happens. What happens, happens, okay?
I did ask for something else, and it has not appeared here.
I think you're safe with anything that's infant sorrow on a sexual kind of...
Yeah, I just don't know what this is, and I think most of it's...
Just press play.
And I think
let's
most of it's
it.
Forgettable in 5 minutes.
Okay, let's
And if we're
going to
play
it.
Something, let's play something good and classic that has sustenance and substance, and that might be really sexy and sensual. But that's
we can't.
My,
we only have what they give
that's
us.
That's right. And that's my little musical soapbox for the day. So thank you all again. Dory's waiting with her camera and her tongue hanging out. I don't know why her tongue's
Ooh,
hanging out.
Hello,
because
Dory.
Because it's a room full of beautiful women.
That might be. I don't think that has much impact on Dory personally.
It has an impact on everyone, doesn't it?
It does. So, My song is There in Black. Thank you, Dunk. You came through.
There we go.
Absolutely. And Dunk did a really cool show earlier. Next up is Casper and the team. We wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.